So the question was asked, is it generally recommended, is it more recommended that Baalei Tshuva marry someone else who is themselves a Baal Tshuva, Chozer B'Tshuva? There are advantages to both sides, and there are disadvantages to both sides. And in part, the answer is individualistic, which outweighs which. If both spouses are Chozrim B'Tshuva, the obvious advantage is that they can understand one another better. They can understand what the ups and the downs that they each have, the difficulties that they have. They can very often also understand one another's past better. They can understand what one is contending with the parents better. So the overall understanding has tremendous potential. There's more similarity. So those are very, very big advantages for some people. Depending on what one's past is like and depending on where one is holding. The disadvantages are that, number one, you have the blind leading the blind. Meaning both are playing a certain amount of guesswork as to how an Orthodox home is supposed to look. Where if one of them at least grew up in an Orthodox home, so then there are going to be norms which are just given to them. We had a couple that was about to get engaged, and then the girl calls me up and says, he's going to Egypt for Pesach. So I said, what? She said, he's going to Egypt for Pesach. Is that, what am I supposed to say? I said, I don't know. Let me call him. Let me see what's going on. I don't know. So, turns out the guy wasn't going to Egypt for all Pesach. The Seder, he was going to be here. And then Chol HaMoed, he was going to Egypt. So, without going into too many details about why he wanted to go to Egypt, I tried to explain to him that normal family life is that Chol HaMoed, you're with the family. You're dating a girl. You're about to get engaged. Be with her on Chol HaMoed. You're not supposed to be flying to all kinds of places where you don't have a Jewish atmosphere and you're going to be in a hotel and who knows what over Pesach. Now, he understood it. The damage was done. She broke up with him. She was like, he doesn't have a concept of what a Jewish home is supposed to be like. And when she spoke to him, he didn't understand what she wanted from him. Over time, I think if they would have been married, I think he would have understood. I mean, this was something that she blew a gut. She said, you mean to tell me you like Egypt, so you're going to want to spend our holidays in Egypt? So he said, uh-huh. So she like didn't know how to swallow that. We spoke about it. He came to a certain understanding. In married life, he would have done well had he married someone who... he didn't get married in that. He would have done well had he married someone who came from an Orthodox background, and then those norms, even though they weren't natural to him, he would have learned them. So that's a big advantage when it comes to all kinds of other things, like how you run the Rosh Hashanah Seder night. There's a certain order how you run Rosh Hashanah. How's the Seder supposed to be run? I know a couple where they're both Chozrim B'Tshuva, and they both run a Seder for Chozrim B'Tshuva. And I always wonder, they both got married after a year or two that they did Tshuva. How well could they know how to run a Seder with all due respect to them? They're teaching other people, but with all due respect, I don't remember if they were ever at a Seder by me or someone else, but even if you're there for 1 year, you know, I learned it for 25 years, 30 years before I started running my own Seder. There's a bit of a difference. So you could say, what's the big deal? No, there is a big deal. There are a lot of customs in the Seder that are not written down. Be it the tunes, be it the customs. There are a lot of things like that. So that's a big advantage to marrying someone who comes from a traditional background. That same advantage is also a disadvantage. Because sometimes she has a hard time respecting you when you make these mistakes. Sometimes, like one girl once called me up. She said, I'm engaged to him. I don't regret that I'm engaged to him. But every time he comes to my parents' house and he can't sing Eishes Chayil or Shalom Aleichem like everyone else, I'm embarrassed and I don't know what to do with myself. Could you please start teaching them these songs? And in light of that, you know, in lieu of that, we started doing Shabbos songs here a few years ago on our Thursday night class because of that phone call that I got. I didn't tell him I was doing it for him. You know, he didn't have to know that his kala felt this way. But we've been doing it ever since because I think that it's a valid point. A woman who comes from traditional home, and then her chassan comes and they want to honor him with making kiddush, they want to honor him with singing Meishas Chayil or Shalom Aleichem, and he doesn't know it, she has a hard time with it. And that's, you know, that's the duality here, where on the one hand it's an advantage to marry someone from a traditional home, on the other hand it's a little bit tricky. You have to find a girl who appreciates your strengths, who doesn't look down at you for what you don't know, but appreciates how much you've overcome. Not every girl is capable of that. It takes a certain maturity. It takes a certain personality. So this doesn't have to be either or. They're not mutually exclusive. You could get a girl who has the background and therefore you get that strength and also appreciates you in spite of the fact that you don't have it. She sees your strengths. She sees how much you overcame to get to where you are. But I think you need to find those two points together. You with me? Another major advantage of marrying someone who herself has comes from a strong background is that it's one less point of contention, meaning very often a person himself has to contend with one's own parents who don't begin to understand what he's doing and can very often throw salt on the marriage. And if you have in-laws who are understanding, that's a tremendous asset. It's a tremendous strength. If they're in this country, then it's a double strength, because then after your wife gives birth, you have a place to go to. For Shabbos, as Niyam told me, you have a place to go to. If they're not in this country, it remains a strength. If you have to contend on both sides with parents who look at you like you're off the wall, it's a hardship. On the other hand, that same hardship is a strength, because you understand one another better. So all of these points can play themselves out to the positive and to the negative. And that's why I don't know that there's one formula where you could say it's better to go this way or better to go that way. There are guys whose personality lends itself to marrying a girl of specifically one type or the other, and that someone who knows you might be able to recommend for you specifically. Sometimes a guy has such self-confidence, or he's so smooth, his tshuva process has been so seamless, that for him it's more fitting to marry a girl from a traditional background, because the benefits will outweigh the detriments. But then you have guys who are the exact opposite, who for them, in order to have someone who understands them, in order to build a relationship, it's more likely they'll find someone who did tshuva, will be more up their alley. What I usually tell people, if I know people well, I will often give them a recommendation. For you specifically, I recommend A or B or C. But I always say that my recommendation is, judge each one by its merits and demerits, and be open to both. Whichever one you're offered, judge each one based on its own merits. And I would say be open to both. Don't go with a closed view, I need this or that. But whether there's a preference for you specifically, someone who knows you or you yourself might know what the preference is. Yes.